Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. Once again, this is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and I want to pick up where we left off yesterday, talking about what shall I do with Jesus. We left off talking about Pilate asking Jesus if he was the Son of God, and he said, "Yes, I am." And so we're going to pick up from there. Now we know that Jesus at this point in this lesson is in the court with Pilate, and Pilate's trying to figure out what shall he do with Jesus, and he had asked the people that. So we're at a point where Pilate's trying to make a decision, and the text that we're using, or actually the information that I'm using today, come from a sermon from Billy Sunday, and just a real, real good piece of the information. So anyway, often tried to imagine how different early history might have been had there been in Jerusalem at that time a great Jewish daily, like a newspaper, a string of newspapers. And if they'd have had a string of those newspapers down through Asia Minor, a Hebrew Lord Northcliffe or a Jim Keeley of the Chicago Tribune in the old days, or a Pulitzer or a Hearst magazine or something. And, just imagine what a hard time the high priest would have had if there'd been a syndicate of newspapers playing on the front page, a three-column display headline about the villainy of that little crowd of religious bigots and crooked politicians who were intent on murdering Jesus. The one who stood for the common people as no other man in history had stood, and no other man in history ever will stand. Can you imagine what that would have been like, if there'd have been some way for that communication to be as broad and fast and instant as it is today? But anyway, back to old Pilate. So old Pilate called for a basin of water, and he walked out before the crowd, washed his hands, and said, "I wash my hands of his blood. I find no fault in him." If he had washed his old black heart at the same time, he'd have been a clean man, that's for sure. But he didn't. Pilate was Pilate. There's no doubt about that. There's an old book bearing the strange title, Letters from Hell. The introduction was written by George MacDonald, and in that book, Pilate is represented in the lost world bending over a stream of water. I think the author must have gotten his wires crossed up. A stream of water in hell would be the limit, according to my ideas anyway. I don't think he's going to find a stream of water in hell. And this is just like the average fool novel writer would do. They take their liberty to make things what they think they should be. So Pilate's represented bending over, dipping his hands in the water, and someone touches him on the shoulder and says, "Will they never be clean?" And with a shriek of agony that rang through the lost world, he cried, "Oh, will they never be clean? No, no." I'm sorry, Pilate, but the blood of Jesus has been on you for over 2,000 years in hell now. And it'll be on you through an eternity. I'm sorry, but that's the way it worked out. Pilate had a chance that day in front of the gang of people there in Jerusalem, but he was too willing to let them nail him to the cross rather than stand by the side of Jesus and his truth, even when Pilate really knew Jesus was innocent. And so, yes, that guilty will stay with you forever. So what shall I do then with this Jesus, which is called Christ? Well, he didn't have the courage of his convictions. He was convinced that Jesus was right. And if Pilate had, bared his back and said, "This man's on the level, you can take me and crucify me, but you can't touch one hair of his head," he would have taken his stand in the same company with people like Joseph of Arimathea and other famous people that back then that stood with Jesus. We would have been glad to name our kids after Pilate, but tonight we speak his name with, repulsion. He had his chance. He was a miserable, get right down to it, as Billy called him, he was a miserable, white-livered coward. Like I said, Billy, he has his own way of explaining to people what he thinks, and he never was known to, go shallow on the mustard, you know. So now, when old Pilate heard that Herod was in town, he was glad to get rid of Jesus. So he shoved him over to Herod. Well, Herod thought that Jesus was sort of a, you know, sleight of hand performer, you know what I'm saying, and you know, magician kind of guy. And, you know, a Chautauqua entertainer, and he had a bunch of high rollers. So he asked Jesus to come up and perform a few miracles just to entertain the crowd. Well, Jesus answered the old fox without even a word. So they secured him and sent him back to old Pilate. Herod had heard John the Baptist preach. John had said, "It isn't right for you to have your brother Philip's wife." Well, Herod wanted Jesus and his brother's, his brother Philip's wife too. You know, but he could not have both. So he turned down Jesus and kept his brother Philip's wife, which was actually against the law. I don't know if any of you remember William Jennings Bryan, but he was quite a guy. He was from back in the Billy Sunday days too. And Billy would ask in this text here, he said, "Is William Jennings Bryan a fool? Is he a believer in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? And what are you going to do with the Christ of these Christian men? You know, was the late William McKinley a fool? When an assassin's bullet struck him down at Buffalo, fondly and reverently did he pray that he would be spared. But when they gave him the anesthetic and the doctors bent over him to catch what might have been his last words, he was muttering the Lord's Prayer." Billy Sunday says, "We smiled, dried our tears, shook hands, and forgot our political differences." And then they said, "Then the relapse came, and we were informed that he was growing worse." Talking about, you know, William McKinley here. "And they sent for his wife, and he looked up and said, 'It's God's will. His way, not ours, be done.' McKinley started to repeat, 'Near, my God, to thee, near to thee,' and the lamp of life flickered and went out forever." And they said, "Down the streets of Buffalo went the funeral procession for William McKinley, and the band played, 'Near, my God, to thee.' The railroad track from Buffalo to Washington was lined with people who stood on a street corner. Or no, let's see. The railroad track from Buffalo to Washington was lined with people who stood with bowed, uncovered heads and tear-stained cheeks as they sang, 'Nearer, my God, to thee.'" Well, Billy himself, see, now he journeyed to Canton that he might be present at the funeral. 5 hours, Billy says, "For 5 hours I stood on the street corner opposite the Stark County Courthouse where his body was to lie in state. The booming cannon told us that the funeral train had arrived. Down the funeral procession came, and bands and a muffled drum, they played 'Near, my God, to thee.' The hearse stopped opposite to where I stood, and the detachment of sailors from the battleship Indiana and soldiers from the regular army drew out the coffin and carried it to the courthouse where it was in laying state. Up dashed a carriage. Out leaned that giant of the West, Theodore Roosevelt. By his side was Elihu Root. By his side was Dr. Ritchie. Well, I stood and watched Admiral Croninshield and Admiral Farquhar, and then I saw General Otis, just returned from the Philippines, and General Gillespie, both Roman Catholics, but both earnest, devout Christian Catholics who believed in Jesus Christ. By their side walked the finest specimen of manhood ever looked upon, and that was General Miles, Nelson A. Miles, Lieutenant General Nelson A. Miles. Now up the steps hobbled my friend General David Henderson of Dubuque, Iowa, then Speaker of the House of Representatives. By his side was William Ellison, and I stood and gazed upon them from the north and men from the south, Democrats and Republicans of all classes. Then they were given the privilege to walk through, and I was among the first 200 to go through. When I looked at the dead president's pale, upturned face, my eyes were blinded with tears, and I groped my way out of the north door. I stood there bathed in the perfect sunlight of a perfect September day, and as I stood there, I said to myself, 'Hail to God. I stand with the best men of this nation when I stand beneath the cross of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.'" So, what are you to do with the Christ when the north, the south, the east, and the west, the trumpet of Gabriel sounds, and the unsaved dead come out of their graves to the last judgment? What are you going to do with Christ? You know, lost, what will you do then? You can sit out there now and sneer if you want, listening to what I got to say, folks, but you can damn me, you can call me crude and illiterate, and call me an old man, don't know what I'm talking about, but I got you beat, folks. I got the Lord. You need the Lord too. Now our acceptance with God is going to depend on what we do with Jesus. It's that simple. The vilest sinner on earth, if he accepts Jesus Christ, will be accepted. And the very moment you accept Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. If you reject Jesus, God will spurn and reject you. It's just that simple. There's no other way around it. So again, I ask, you know, our acceptance with God is going to depend, on what we do with Jesus. The vilest sinner on earth, if he accepts Jesus Christ, will be accepted. And the very moment you accept Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. If you reject Jesus, God will spurn and reject you. Now remember that. That's important. I know I said it twice, but it's important. It's that important. In the Bank of England's a machine, a marvelous mechanism. This is what Billy was explaining here. He said, it's used to weigh gold sovereigns. The Bank of England never takes gold for its face value as our banks do. They always weigh gold because gold will wear off during circulation. You know, people's hands and stuff, and eventually little bits will wear off. He said, Billy said, I had a friend out in Illinois who had some $45,000 in gold. He sent it to the First National Bank of Chicago for deposit. They weighed it for him, and it was $1,500 shy on weight. Well, the Bank of England always weighs gold. The man set at the machine there, and the gold's dropped through a little slit and falls on a pan. If it's standard weight, it tips to the right. If it's a fraction short, it tips to the left. It never makes a mistake, never. It saves the Bank of England hundreds of pounds of sterling every year, I'm sure. Well, that's nothing compared with the scrutiny that we'll have to pass through when we stand before God. We can't muster because of our wealth or our intellectual standing in life. It is because of our acceptance or rejection of Jesus Christ. Then our becoming children of God depends on what becomes of Jesus. Is that not right? Exactly. You know, our acceptance or rejection of Jesus is, what we're going to be, the scrutiny we're going to be looked upon with. And so our becoming children of God depends on what becomes of Jesus. Now there's an insinuous heresy, around. So the teachings about the universal fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, the teaching that we're all one flesh. And you probably heard of it out there. You know, there's a lot of that going around today, especially. But if you're not a child of God, you are a creature of God. And we're all creatures of God. Nobody's a child of God, but a Christian. You know, you're my brother in the flesh. And that is, you are human, I'm human. But you're not my brother in the spirit unless you're a Christian. God's a creator of us all, but God is a father of none but those who believe in Christ Jesus. And now there's one way you came into the world and you were born. And there's one way you get into heaven. You must be born again. You have had a physical birth. But you must have a spiritual birth, and that must come through Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now, does Jesus lack anything in your estimations? Does he fail to measure up to your ideas and ideals? You know, where could he improve? And, what could you suggest that would improve Jesus? Because I would be very glad to know that personally, as long as Billy Sunday asked that same question. If Jesus could improve, I'd sure like to know how and what, where, I just can't go for that at all. He's the perfect Lamb of God. A man said one time, if you find me an absolutely flawless character, I'll worship him. I challenge all the infidels on earth or in hell to find one flaw in the character of Jesus Christ. We're out of time today, folks. We're going to continue the same message tomorrow where we're going to finish it up. But God bless each one of you. We love you, and we'll talk to you in the morning. But remember, as you go out today, keep it on your mind what we've been talking about, and think about it, and be prepared tomorrow to hear the end of this story, the end of this message. It's been a great message, but there's a little bit more to come. But challenge yourself to think about what you've heard so far about what shall you do with Jesus, who is the Christ. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless each and every one of you.